The Record Spins at KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman.
I'm Steve Scherer. The World Wide Web is 25 years old today. On March 12, 1989, Sir Tim Berners-Lee wrote a paper proposing an information management system. The idea became the conceptual and architectural structure for the web.
In the 25 years the web's been around, it's done a lot of good, but it's also made it easier than ever to be a con artist. AARP, the Association for Retired People, has just completed a study that identified victims of online fraud. Turns out you're much more likely to fall prey to an online scammer if you're experiencing something bad in your life.
Ross Reynolds sat down with fraud expert and Washington State AARP Director Doug Shadell, got an explanation of what makes us more vulnerable to online fraud.
Victims reported 53% more negative life events in the months preceding being victimized. So what's a negative life event? Loss of a job, stress in their personal relationships, an illness. And we think this, we liken this to catching a cold. You know, two people go into a room, there's a cold, cold germs are everywhere. One person catches a cold, the other person doesn't. What's the difference? Well, they may wash their hands less, or they may have a weakened immune system. And we think some of this negative life event stuff may be weakening the consumer's immune system because fraud's all over the internet.
Sure. That is so interesting. So if you go through a tough patch, realize that you might be a little weaker when it comes to these scams, maybe raise your alert level up high. There's been so much written about how seniors are always the victims of scams online. Is that true?
Not when it comes to online fraud and not when it comes to the study we just completed. 47% of the victims, or the average age of a victim was 47. The average age of a non-victim was 49. So the victims were slightly younger. So when it comes to online fraud, no, we don't think that age is a risk factor.
You know, we were talking before we started. We encounter scams online all the time. How frequently does an average person run across something where someone's trying to take something from them?
Yeah, good question. Well, I mean, in the study we just completed in Washington State, 73% of the people we asked said they had been targeted by some kind of an online scam in the last year. That's 3 out of 4 people. And so, again, germs are everywhere. Fraud is everywhere. The question is, are you going to catch it? And for years in fraud prevention, we've given people checklists.
Yeah.
Do this, don't do that. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And ignored the situation that the person was in at the moment they encounter that scam. And with the internet, you're encountering them all the time because it's so accessible.
I want to ask you another question about this national survey that AARP did. It included a lot of people here in Washington State and their online behavior. What shocked you about that survey?
Well, I mean, I think one of the things that shocked me was the number of people who never changed their password. I mean, this is really common advice nowadays. I think experts would say every 90 days, especially for things that are sensitive, like your bank account. 33% of the people we asked said they had never changed their password on their online banking account or on a personal email. And, you know, you hear these stories about target data breaches all over the place. It's really important to do that. The other thing is these things called privacy statements. We ask people, the last time you encountered one of these privacy statements, did you read some of it, all of it, or none of it? And a third of them said, quite boldly, I'd read none of it, and yes, I signed, I agree.
But, Doug, they're so long. They're so legalese, these end-use legal agreements that we just click on because who's got the time?
Well, the con artists that I interview say buyers are not readers and readers are not buyers. So if somebody starts to say, I've got to read everything before I do, they hang up on you, right? Mm-hmm. That's one of the best defenses, actually. Even if you're not going to read it, is to tell people you're going to read it.
Why are we not more careful on the web?
I don't know. It's interesting. You know, one of the other big trends on the web is this whole imposter scam thing. The FTC just released their data last week, and it's number 4 now. It's gone up 66%, the number of imposter scams reported to the FTC. And I raise that in this context because it's so easy to pretend to be someone else on the web. And I think we're just used to taking things we see at face value and saying, you know, I mean, these romance scams we were talking about before, it's like, look, there's a 40-year-old woman who's interested in me on a website, and really, it's a 50-year-old Nigerian mobster, you know.
What about the speed factor? I mean, when I'm on the web, I'm going through websites really quickly. I'm going through email really quickly. Is the speed at which we go through things on the web a factor that lowers our caution?
Yes, absolutely. That's a very good point. Last week, we had a scam jam with 9 fraud experts, every single one of them.
A scam jam?
It's called Scam Jam, yeah.
It's just like a musical jam, but
it's kind of a jam. We're jamming on the topic of fraud, yeah.
Okay.
Maybe I'm too into this. It's possible.
No, I love it. Scam Jam. I'm all over that.
Yeah, but every single speaker said the one thing you can do is to slow the transaction down. That's when you make mistakes. And also be careful if you've had one of these life stress situations. We're taught to tough it out, soldier on no matter what happens. That makes you vulnerable to this stuff.
I'm talking to Doug Shadel. He directs the AARP, and he's the author of many books on this, including Outsmarting the Scam Artists. And he used to work as a fraud investigator and a special assistant to the Attorney General of Washington State. Doug, what do we know about the scam artists? Who are they?
Well, they're all over the map in terms of who they are. But one thing they have in common is what their strategy is. I've interviewed about probably 20 of them in various prisons. And when you ask them, what is the primary strategy? What's your main strategy for swindling people? They all say the same thing. And that is, get them under the ether. What is ether? Ether is a heightened emotional state where you're no longer thinking rationally. You're thinking emotionally.
And so they win a lot of money.
Yeah. So there's all these tactics.
I'm going to fall in love. I'm going to find a beautiful person.
Exactly.
Like that kind of, is that what you mean?
Yes. Yeah. Those are exactly the examples I've given in the talks. It's like, think about the first time you fell in love. Were you thinking rationally? Or think about a time when somebody cut you off in the freeway that happened on my way over here. Mm-hmm. So I'm not thinking rationally now, probably. No, you're seething in anger.
Sure.
The interesting thing the economists say is whether you're in a heightened emotional state that's joyful or negative, it doesn't matter. They both put you at risk. I think for the same reasons the negative life events put you at risk, which is it takes up cognitive capacity.
Sure.
You're thinking emotionally. You're not thinking. You're reacting emotionally.
So that's a way that they want an emotional state they want to encourage in you to lower your defenses. But are there other ways they choose victims? They don't necessarily know about your emotional state, or how is it the way that they pick you?
I mean, the great thing about the internet and the great thing about technology now is the starting point for them is to cast a broad net. Sometimes they will target people when it gets into the higher end scams. But for things like lottery fraud and sweepstakes, they'll send out a million emails because it's almost free to send out a million emails.
So they don't have to be picky about their victims. They can just blanket everybody.
Exactly. What you got to be careful of, though, is when you get one of those emails or a direct mail piece and send in $10 thinking that's a benign act, it's only $10, then you're in trouble because that separates you from most of the people who don't do this. Mm-hmm. And then you will start getting bombarded with mail, with phone calls from Jamaica. I mean, we had this one woman who was being called 50 times a day from this guy in Jamaica. And when she stopped answering the phone, he left a voicemail saying, "Do you want me to come over there and burn your house down?"
Wow.
Now, he's not going to do that. These are cowards. But it scares people. And it's just good not to get started with them.
Are the internet scams that are pulled or attempted to be pulled on people here in Washington State any different than anywhere else?
I don't believe so. But con artists would tell you that if you're a con man, one guy told me this, if you don't use the internet to pull your scams, it's like malpractice for con men because it's so effective at reaching broad numbers of people, at faking who you are and swindling people.
That was Doug Shadel. He's the director of Washington State's AARP. He used to investigate fraud at the Attorney General's office. You can find out more about online fraud in Washington and nationwide at AARP, and you can find links on our website. With Marcy Silman, I'm Steve Scher. You're tuned to The Record.